blessing to be in the Lord, and it's a blessing to be to be here and take His emblems and remember Him for who He truly is, our Savior, our King, and our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we are grateful, thankful, Lord, for all that You've given us, Lord, and may we always think of those things. May we be thankful for what we have and not what we don't have, Lord. And may we understand, Lord, Your purpose for our lives, Lord. May we have the character to Your character, Lord, to show not to show the world, Lord, but to be who You said we are, Lord. And then the world will ask who You are. And Lord, I'm thankful for everyone here, Lord, who's working on their character, Lord, working on their lives, Lord, and are truly faithful in You and having the application being made through Your word, Lord. We just praise You, we honor You, and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Might help if I slip these on. Let's start out in Proverbs 15. Verse 16. Kind of a nice little thing to think of daily. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Well, my character trait today is content. I've went through compassionate, I've went through considerate, I went through, let me pull them up here, consistent, and I went through committed and concerned. So today we're still on the seas and content. So with this little gem from Proverbs, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. So what starts discontentment? Where did it start at? Does anyone know how we feel like we need and we have to have everything? Where'd that start at? I remember as a little kid, Mom always had these magazines. Boy, we'd thumb through them looking at all the stuff. You know, boy, this would be nice. This would be great. This would be awesome to have. You know, and then we get Christmas and we get some of those things we ask for. And we really get everything we need all the time and we ask for. And it just comes and it comes and it comes. You know, and it starts from a little kid that we expect to look through and see something. Maybe it's a new truck or a toolbox or maybe a new purse, shoes, sports equipment, new basketball, new football, whatever it is. You know, we had all these magazines that put it right in front of our face. Now we got the internet right in front of our face. Now we got our friends who have all the nicest stuff that they walk around in. And we can say, boy, that's nice to have. I wish I could have one of those. The best bike when I was a little kid, you know. Man, you had to have the Stingray handlebars, you know, and the Stingray bike or the Schwinn, the 10-speed when you got older. You had to have those things to be cool, you know. Cool was it, you know. So all these things. Now we got, what, cell phones? Man, you got to have the latest cell phone, latest iPad, latest this, latest that. We got to have it all. We're never content because they keep making something better all the time. So it starts as a little kid and it grows up and it causes what? Covetousness when we're older. It started when we're younger, but covetousness is the problem. So first point was is that we started out with a discontentment or a lack of contentment. We always wanted more. So what's that turn to? Turns into covetousness, I just mentioned. Let's go to Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5, verse 19. Covetousness or lack of contentment turns into this. Now the deeds of the flesh, that's who we were, right, are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of angers, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it sounds like it's a pretty important thing that we get over these things, right? So, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:9. These things are what we manifests from our lack of contentment. Envy, strife, bitterness, covetousness, stealing, lying. We want it and we got to have it, don't we? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So, covetousness leads to, basically, death. We will not inherit if we stay in that state. Okay? So, it's important to know the negative part. Right? If we don't know the negative, we'll keep doing what we're doing. You know, I don't like to dwell on those things, but it's like current flow. If you don't have a negative and a positive, there's no current flow. If I just tell you positive things all the time, you won't change. If I just tell you negative things all the time, there's no change, there's no flow. But if we get the positive and the negative, we get the reason, if we get the why, then we get the how. Why it happened, we'll get the how. How can I change? And that's what we want to get to. So, 1 Peter, I think there's one more. And 2 Peter, I believe. What was I thinking? I didn't write it down. I'm kind of going off the whim on this one. But kind of lost it as I was talking there. Well, I would just skip that. I can't. I lost it while I was thinking. I had one that popped in my head. And as I was telling you that little bit, I lost it. So, okay, so you know the negative. Now let's get to the positive. Fairly quickly, how can we overcome all this stuff's in the world pegging at us all the time? It's really hitting us, isn't it? Man, you see something and I see a new truck and I look at it and say, man, you know, toolboxes, what I can do. I'm driving my stupid car all the time thinking what I can do with toolboxes, you know. But God has given me a car. That car has lasted me 10 years. Got about 190,000 miles on it. I've created, been able to supply my family with income, with everything they need in life with that car. Why am I looking at the stupid toolboxes? I got everything I need. Everything I need, God has supplied me with, but yet we think we need more. And that's, it's important that we really work through these things in our head and do the, every time we get that little covetousness going on, we do a present, positive, affirmative saying, man, I got everything I need, Lord, pertaining to life and godliness. You've given me your spirit. What more do we need? See, that's how it's got to work, because we do it, and then pretty soon it'll go away because it ain't working. The devil sees, and he'll stop. He'll see that we're using Scripture, just like Jesus used, to fend him off. If we can do those things, it'll eventually go away. 2 Peter 1:1-4. Simon Peter, a bondservant. Bondservant is someone that wants to do the work. You know, he's not a slave. He can leave at any time. But he wants to do the work. He's thankful for his Savior, or for his Lord. He's thankful to do the hard work for everything he got. That's what a bondservant is. A bondservant, an apostle, Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We're bondservants. Those who have received the same kind of faith as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine nature has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. He's given us everything through truth, right? Everything through truth. In other words, if we don't read this, we won't know. We'll still be looking at the world. We'll still be looking for covetousness. But if we read this, we'll realize, man, I got everything I need. Got it. I don't need any more. So, how can we overcome covetousness? How can we be content with what we have? We've already overcome it. It's gone. We just got to understand these words and make the application. Got to put the full effort and thought into His Word and believing who we are and making the application when needed. Colossians 1:13. Pretty simple study. You guys all know this, but character is what it's about. And sometimes we have bad character. We don't see ourselves. But if I can say one little word, one little thought, right? If they can see something and change and make the application today, God's word will not come back void. So we're at Colossians 1:13. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Rescued us. We are the bride. He was the hero that took us, rescued us, saved us from our damsel in distress, our crying, and our... You've seen the movies where the hero comes in and sweeps the lady away. We are the bride of Christ. He took us, and He's going to take us further. So we are, and He has done His work. He's transferred us into the kingdom. If we're there, what are we seeing? What are we seeing? Are we seeing the trucks? Are we seeing the toolboxes? Are we seeing Him? That's what I have to ask myself. That's what you guys, that's what we have to ask ourselves. Okay, now let's go to Job. We all know the story. Same old thing. But it's an excellent story. Mike and Eileen's going through this right now, right? It's kind of fitting. Not that God did that on purpose or I made this up because Mike and Eileen were going through it. It was just the next one on the list. Job 1:1-3. Or excuse me. Yeah, let's go 1 through 3. That's what I wanted to do. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from all evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 5,000 yoke, and yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons used to go and hold feasts in the house. And each one on his day, they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Okay, Job had a lot of stuff, didn't he? God blessed him amazingly. Man, do you think he would have some pride in what he's built up over his life? You think he would love that stuff? You think he would just be really, man, this is awesome. I got this great life. This is perfect, man. I have got it. God has blessed me, but I've done a lot and really built this thing up. I've done it all. Let's go jump down to 8, verse 8. He's probably ripe for the picking. He's got a lot of stuff. We'll see how he acts if I take it away. The Lord said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Satan starts licking his chops here. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job not fear God for nothing? You have made a hedge about him and his house and all the things that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions. And if I increase, and possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand upon him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Satan. Allowed to. God allows it. Jump down to 13:19. Verse 19, I should say. 13 through 19. Now. That keeps blowing me. Blowing my papers. Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in the wine in the oldest brother's house, the messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding, beside them, and the Sabians attacked them and took them, and they slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed all of them, and alone I have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon young people, and they died. And I have alone escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground. I want to stop there, 19. They took all his stuff. There might be, 4 servants left? No kids. Nothing to eat. 4 servants and a wife. That's all he had. With all that stuff he had before. Tells you what kind of guy Job is, this next part. We know all this story. Then Job arose. And tore the robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin or blame God. Job passed this test. He was content. Didn't have the Holy Spirit. Didn't have anything that we have. Might have had some more stuff, which would make him more discontent. But what he did have was a love for God, and he was righteous in the ways of God. Didn't have a lot of, let's see here. This was between 1000 and 2000 BC, so right around before Moses. So there wasn't a lot of law here, but he was blameless. He was blameless. It could have been the time Moses, but it sounds like it's a little before that. So he is righteous. He's been thinking about God. He's been wanting to please God his whole life. Let's go to Job 23, verse 2. Passing the test. See, what we need to think about with that, we don't want to think that Satan is tempting us now. What we want to think about is, because if we think of Satan as tempting us, then we're on the wrong side of it. We want to think God is disciplining us to know if we pass the test, to know what we can work on in our lives, right? To know where our heart is, to where our spirit is, to where if we're seeking our flesh or if we're looking to the spirit. So Job 23, 2. We'll show you that Job did complain. Then Job replied, "Even today, my complaint is rebellion, and my hand is heavy, despite my groaning." See, he didn't give up, but he groaned and he complained to God. He complained to God, not to anyone else. He complained to God. The one I had on my phone said that he would complain to God, no one else. I'll look at that later. But let's go to Romans 8:28. So Job had everything, got it taken away. Those are fleshly things. We said we have everything pertaining, in 2 Peter says we had everything pertaining to life and godliness, right? Through the true knowledge of Him. We have the Holy Spirit that is more than what Job had. Romans 8:28. I can't talk and flip pages. This is back up for what I just said before, that God disciplines us. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. So things happen in our lives for good. Can bad things happen for good? Absolutely. Right? Everything He's given us is for our own good. Can we be happy in that? We know James chapter 1 tells us, consider it all joy, right? Glory awaits. Glory awaits when we have trials. It's waiting there. Just for us. Just for us to say, I love you for what you've given me, God. I'm thankful. Man, this is exactly what I need. Now I can see. Now I can see where I need to work. Now I can see what to be thankful for. Because I was thinking about this, and I was wanting this real bad, and now I know that stuff's just stuff. Romans 8:5. I'm going to stay in 8 for a little bit here. All these trials are for us to look to see if we're in the flesh or in the spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. Focus. Focus. See, when we have trials and we get upset with the trials, we get upset when we don't get what we want. If we're looking for something every day and we're disgusted that we don't get it, if someone isn't doing exactly what we want them to do, man, they should treat me better than this, or they should do this, they should do that. We're seeking fleshly stuff. If we want things, man, I can't function without this. I gotta have it. We're seeking flesh. But thank God for what He's given me. I got it. I got everything I need right here. How can I make this work? And I'm dealing with that every day because it's a game. It's a game because He's going to sit there and make you work through it. It's not going to be easy. Believe you me, it's not going to be easy. But faith, pushing forward every day, saying, this is what I believe in, and I'm not moving from this. Because He's going to say, you got to push through. You got to push through that thought process so you don't stay right there. Because He's going to make you really think about what stops you. But if you can't push through it, got to think a little differently. You got to find a way to change your mind to make you make that step. The next step. Okay, I'm in the flesh. If I can't push through this, my belief system is wrong. I've got to look more towards Him instead of what's in front of me. Then I can make that step. It's harder than it looks. Because a lot of times you just think you're going through your day. And this just happened to you. And it's going to go away. And you just ignore it. And the next day it comes up, or a week from now it comes up, or a month from now it comes up again. If you just ignore it, it's going to keep coming. I guarantee it. In my life it has. I've seen in others' lives. It's going to keep coming at you until you make the application. Romans 8, 9 through 22. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. I'm going to stop right there. However, if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. See, sometimes we've got to make a check every now and then, don't we? Do I have the Spirit? It's okay to sit down and have an account. Okay. I went through it, right? I know what the Bible says. I'm going to look through the Bible and make sure I didn't miss anything. And I did everything exactly the way God told me, the way the Scriptures say. And if I find anything different to receive the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make that application. But according to what I know now, I've been immersed. I believed, I repented, and I confessed, and I'm living faithful. So yes, I have the Holy Spirit. We have to ask ourselves these questions. Do it periodically. Do your homework. It helps instill the faith. Okay. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. What's that look like? You're dead to sin. So, that stuff can't affect you. Those truck boxes, those tools that you so graciously want and really think about, can't make your decisions for you. Can't make you fall away. Can't do anything. They're just stuff. It's okay to look at them. And when you have the money and you have the things and you know that you're not putting this before anyone else has need and you know that, okay, got a little money here and I think it would help the kingdom if I bought these things. I'd be more organized, have more time. Then I would purchase something like that. Someone might purchase something like that. But I make these should make these decisions based on those things. What can cause you to sin? I need it, or do I want it? If you want it, not really a good thing. The flesh is dead because of love, but the Spirit is alive. Why? Because of righteousness. Righteousness. Making the application is righteousness. Is that what it is? We know what to do. If we ignore it, we're not righteous. But if we make the application, we're righteous. That's faith. Action is faith, right? Faith is making the application. Abraham had faith. God considered him as righteous. Okay. 8 through 22. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. Sometimes we resurrect the old man, don't we? But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live, making the application. For you're all being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, slaves to that fleshly indulgence, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoptions as sons, which we cry out, as Mike would say, Abba, Father! The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, And these children are heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. You know the term glory to glory? Right? Making the application is his glory. Being content. Making the application. You'll be glorified with him. For if I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to with the glory that is to be revealed to us, for the anxiousness longing for the creation that waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility. Are all this stuff out there futility? All that stuff Mike and Lilene had burned. It was futile. It could go away in a heartbeat. Stuff that Job had went away in a heartbeat. It's all futile. The stuff we have is futile. What's important? For creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers pains of childbirth together until now. Why is until now there? Because we have the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God. Slavery doesn't affect us. Sin, we're not slaves to anything anymore because we have the mind of Christ. When we read, we study, and we make the application whenever something comes up, just like Jesus did, something comes up, we make the application. Not today, son. You're not getting me today. I got scripture that'll beat that to the ground. God gives us what we need. So we can be focused on him. If you want something more, we're not really focused on him. Right? If we want something more, we're not focused on him. He's already given us what we need, what we have, right? What we have, he's given us. Are we going to invest more in the flesh? Or invest more in the Spirit? Through believing in his word. Both cost dearly. You invested in the flesh, cost your very lives. It cost you heaven. If we invest in the Spirit, it just cost us the world. Something that's going to burn anyway. Futile. Invest in what's going to last. Forever! And ever! And ever. It's going to last forever. Invest in it. Here's where I got the wrong scripture. Psalms 142:2. That's the one I was thinking of earlier. It's okay to complain. But I don't think you should complain to your brother, because what that does is really brings him down. Right? If we sit here and whine and complain over things. Sometimes I'll talk things through with Jeremy. My thought processes, just to see how I sound. I don't want to come across as complaining. But I'll talk things over with him. My struggles. And then I can work them out in my head, because it gets mixed up in here. But maybe I should do that through the Lord here. 142:2. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. You think he'll listen? I think he's the best listener around. He's better than your brothers. Better than the world. Because you don't want to bring your brothers down. You want to complain to the guy that can have an effect on you. But you don't want to do it in a manner of, you haven't given me enough yet, God. You want to do it in a manner of, how can I best serve you, Lord? I know I'm having troubles with this. And I know that it ain't working out the way I plan, Lord. But let me see what you want me to see. Those kind of complaints to God was what he's asking for. So if we're going to complain, complain to him. Because we're upbeat people, aren't we? If we have good, positive attitudes, we can come across uplifting, encouraging. First Timothy 6:8. These are a couple scriptures I just wanted to go over. This is all we really need, he says. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Does anything else matter? Philippians 4:11. Paul's writing here, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along in humble means, and I also know how to get along to live in prosperity and in every circumstance. How do you do that? Job had a lot. He got along, didn't he? He got taken away. He got along. The only time he really complained was when it started hurting his body and he was in sheer pain. Then he might have complained a little bit. So, not wanting. You can survive in any situation. There's a lot of people blessed out here with great jobs. Can earn a good income. There's a lot of people here who just get by check to check. Either way, don't matter. God has blessed some. God has blessed all. Depends on your mindset. If you're looking at the other, oh, this guy's got it made. He don't understand my circumstance. Thinking wrong. You're thinking fleshly. 2 Corinthians 12:10. What about someone talking to you roughly? Maybe you want to bust your chops. Talking bad about you behind your back. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the one we can hang our hat on right there. Man, you think that would kick Satan's butt? Do you think that would make you present, positive, affirmative? Do you think that one would make you stand up and make the application every day if you portrayed that and had that thought process running through your head? Because he's trying to make us humble. He's trying to help us see the light that we don't have to be everything to everybody. We could just serve him in the way he wants us to serve him. And be content with that. Whether you're the person that just has a smile on their face all the time because you love God and you're thankful for what you have, you're going to work through that. He's going to work through that. You might not be the biggest, the best Christian, the Paul, you know, the Jay Wilsons, the Marshall Harbors, the Mark Millers, the Mike Hartmans, Mike Harbors. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be. Just be what he wants you to be. Find your place. Be the encourager. Be the uplifter. Put on contentment. People are going to want to knock you off your rocker if you're content with everything. They're going to be the ones that, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. They're going to be the ones that come at you. Stand firm. Where you're weak, you are strong in the Lord. That spirit, that's being filled with the Spirit. These character traits will fill you with the Spirit because they're in the frontals of our forehead. Thankful for Mike and Eileen. I called them. Upbeat. Mike's making his normal jokes. And I told him I knew he'd be that way. I knew he wouldn't be downtrodden. I'm sure there's times he is. But I'm thankful. That's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to talk to Eileen and know it's just stuff. It's encouraging. Let's be encouragement to people. Let's be content. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, help us make the application today. Lord, help us to see the world as it really is, as death and destruction. Lord, help us to see the Spirit as life and godliness. Lord, help us to dwell on the things you've given us, Lord, and be thankful, grateful, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Lord, in our heart, making melody, Lord, with what you've given us, Lord, and to know that you are always there and that we are in you and that we are moving forward, making the application to live our lives for you because you are the Lord of our life. You are the King. You are the one who supplies everything to life and godliness, Lord. And we're thankful for that Spirit, Lord, and you are all. We're thankful for the mind of Christ, and we know that you're always with us. Let's pray that we learn to love the way you love, and to be content with what we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
5, 7, 5, 6.